think you blokes might know each other.
Unfortunately, yes, we do have to share an office. Very talented young journo, Chris Barrett.
Yeah, very much so. We get to talk to Chris Barrett right now after Australia's win over India. 34 run in the first ODI, first of three, 5 for 288. They did well. Khawaja, 59. Marsh, 57. It was Peter Hanscom who did well. 73 runs. Stoinis chipped in for 47. They were too good for India, winning by 34 runs, as we say. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, guys. Yes, I've been missing you, Webby. haven't seen you in the office for a few days.
Oh, so, very good.
Good talk.
Well, you are down there at Melbourne Park for the next 2 weeks covering the Australian Open, so I'll be interested to see with what you come up with, mate. You interviewed Leighton Hewitt for today's paper. You had a bit to say?
Yeah, he was good. He's been working pretty closely with Alex Demonor. You know, they've sort of... Demonor's been cast as a bit of a Hewitt clone, I suppose, isn't he? You know, a really hard-working young baseliner who's now won a Sydney title before he was 20. And, you know, there's a fair bit of expectation about him. So Hewitt's been building him up during the pre-season, getting him stronger. And, I mean, I think he's going to go okay here. He's got Nadal scheduled for the third round if he gets that far, so that'll be difficult. But he's playing a sort of an unknown Portuguese player, Pedro Sousa, today. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
Yeah, 109th in the world, Pedro Sousa. He had a bit of a blow up the other day, also, Alex Demonor, about the organisers not helping him out after he had to go back to back semi final final in the Sydney International. Do we help our players enough, Chris, in that regard?
Well, I'm not sure we're meant to, are we? I mean,
It's our home track. You have to. That's what the whole home ground advantage is.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I think so with the Australian Open organisers, yes, it's run by Tennis Australia, but I think they've got a responsibility to be objective in the way they present a draw in a schedule. The thing is with the draw, every player in each half of it plays either on the Monday or the Tuesday. So that decision about Demonor's half of the draw was made, when the draw was done, which was on Thursday night.
Yeah, so when he's still playing.
You know, at that point, he knew what was coming. Unfortunately, the weather did him no favours on Saturday. On Friday, and he had to play the two matches on the Saturday. I mean, what it tells you is the top players don't play that tournament anymore.
Yeah,
because they know that it could be difficult to back up. So. Yeah. There's an interesting stat around that for the last 12 winners in Sydney, none have made it past the third round, which shows you that it's a bit of a poison chalice that you might have done too much work, but it also shows you that none of those really top players are playing in that lead-up event.
Yeah. Let's go on to cricket, mate, and the Aussie win in the first ODI, 34-run win. Was it the batsman? Because they scored runs, or is it the new combination of Berendorf and Richardson because of the sharp bowling?
You're probably more the bowling, I reckon. I mean, I didn't, 288, that's reasonable, I suppose, but it's very gettable. I sort of certainly thought that India would have been a red hot chance of chasing that down. Yeah, John Richardson was great. He's just been sort of skirting around the edges. You know, he was on that South Africa tour last year, which obviously got in so much headlines, just didn't play, but, you know, bowled in the nets, hung around while all the drama was going on. Good player. He's very fast, and he's put his name up in lights for selection for these, you know, big events coming up later in the year in England. And Australia's got to think about their balance with this peculiar event with the World Cup being followed by the Ashes, because you can't just expect that maybe Stark, Cummins and Hazelwood are going to look after you for all those matches, for the World Cup and then right through the Ashes. You know, someone might get injured, they might have to balance it out and plan, you know, for one of them to play one tournament and not all the Test series against England. So, John Richardson would be right in the mix, I reckon.
How important is this series, Baz, for ahead of the World Cup? You know, there's reports overnight that that Steve Smith is probably going to miss 3 months of cricket because of that elbow injury. Like, it's going to be a tricky sort of period for them, working out who was going to play at the World Cup and then at the Ashes.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, it's about getting some sort of getting a lineup that you can stick with, and they've used dozens of players in the last 18 months in one day cricket. Barely won a game, not had a clue what was their best combination. And, you know, I think when they named this squad this time around a few days ago, people were thinking, well, hold on, well, you've turned it up again. You've changed everything around. I mean, they won a game. I'm not saying it's necessarily, you know, everything sorted. Don't want to fall into that trap. But, yeah, they've got to quickly, this series, and then they've got a one-day series coming up in India in February. They've really got to work out what their best balance is. You know, how many all-rounders, how many spinners, which ones, and then of course you've got the Smith Warner issue. Smith's elbow. The mail was round when he did the injury the other day that he was going to miss 4 months. And, Cricket Australia have certainly tried to dampen those bad expectations, I suppose. But it would appear like he's going to be out for, a significant period of time. The issue will be with whether he can get back in time to play in these couple of one-dayers against Pakistan and the UAE, which will occur probably just after those 12-month bans expire.
What do you think of the decision to pick Peter Siddle at the age of 34?
I don't mind it, given that the three top quicks are out. Because I think that he serves a purpose. You know, he actually does quite well in domestic one day cricket. The thing is, I don't know why all those three fast bowlers that are in the Test series have to rest for the one game. That's probably the main issue. And then they're the victim, I suppose, of this Test series schedule with Sri Lanka coming up in a couple of weeks. It's sort of thrown it all out. But, look, good on Sidsy. Sort of sit back and watch the Tests and, hadn't played a one-day for 8 years or something like that. He's a good, hard-working cricketer. I don't really mind it.
Mate, I've got to ask you about young Pukowski. How's he going to go? He had those head knocks. He battled mental health issues. What's your take on him?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, there's been so much discontent among players and people, on the periphery of the Australian side about the players that have been selected and the way that the selections have gone with, it's been confusing, the way some people have missed out. But I think people can wrap their head around, them pumping for a special talent. It's almost like you get a wild card choice every now and again. This guy's been, pumped up as a once in a generation player, and I think in that sense his numbers obviously don't stack up because he just hasn't played that much. But I think give him a go, and if he's comfortable with having dealt with some of the issues that he's had to in recent months, then I think that's enough. Obviously he's. He's going to face short pitch bowling because he's had, I'm not sure that opposition teams should be targeting him, but then again, it's top class sport, and if they sense that there's some sort of weakness in that area or vulnerability, then I suppose that's what's going to happen. But good luck to him. I hope he makes the 11 in Brisbane for that first Test against Sri Lanka because. I think probably Australia and the Test side need a bit of an injection of something different, don't they? So, you'll come in the middle order. It'd be a nice way to usher him into the side. And, they've had their eye on him as an Ashes bolter for a while now. And, if this works out okay, then he'll be going on that tour as well.
Well, this is the thing, like a Test match is a Test match. But if you're going to experiment with your Test lineup and new players, then this is probably the time, the perfect time for them to do it in an Ashes year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You wouldn't want to take him over there, Roar. And some of it will come down to, how he goes in these two matches, probably how he goes in the rest of the Sheffield Shield season. But, it happened a bit earlier than we thought, actually. As you said, his name's been bandied around, but didn't expect they'd do it now. But I actually think this is a reasonably good call.
Tennis, cricket, you cover it all. You also had a story on Saturday in the Herald about the Sharks. Can we just get you quickly on that story, that exclusive story that you had about them being banned from the Cronulla Sailing Club?
Extraordinary, isn't it, to have an entire club banned from one of your local favourite local watering holes.
It's like Herald Sport being banned from a local Piermont watering
hole. Well, the Piermont Bridge Hotel or something like that. I mean, they probably
wouldn't
do it.
That's happened.
Yeah, look, it speaks volumes of, you know, of their agitation on the side of the sailing club at the incident that's occurred before Christmas. It's still sort of shrouding a bit of mystery about what went on. I mean, certainly I noted there was a bunch of scuffles involving lower-grade players, and there was also some first-grade players there who didn't intervene. But beyond that, there's no real detail about what went on. The police have had a look at it, and the Cronulla are still having a look at it and may proceed with disciplinary action. But, it was just very noteworthy, I thought, that the club itself had said, you know, not only is a couple of players not welcome back in, you know, the whole team's not welcome back. So just in a bit of another blow or another, not a great thing for Cronulla, given what's going on with them lately. I mean, they've got plenty of other stuff happening with them that's impacting them more on the football field, you know, with Shane Flanagan's process going on about trying to appeal his deregistration and also the ongoing salary cap investigation. So they probably didn't need this as well.
It just keeps going, sadly, for the NRL. Chris, thanks very much for your time this morning. Enjoy Melbourne.
Good on you guys.